Welcome to Penikai Neighbourhood Church Weekly Podcast. To find out more about us, or to listen to other podcasts, please explore our website, nazarene.co.uk.
Yeah, that's very true. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and that should not be dependent upon situations or things that are going on around us. The joy of the Lord comes from Christ's presence inside of us, not the things that are happening to us from outside of us. So that's, like I said before, that's how the Apostle Paul could sit in jail with Peter and then both praise their socks off at midnight when they're there in shackles having been beaten by guards, because the joy of the Lord was their strength coming from Jesus' presence inside of them, not from the situations that they were in. And that is something that is, when you discover it, when you find it, that joy is so real, so precious. There is nothing in the world like it ever. Wow, so did you read what I put on the table? Acts 2:42-47? Did you discuss on your tables the two questions? How much does this description match our church? So just reading through that, do you have any comments about how much do you think this description matches us? If this is kind of like the best, if this is like the positive portrait of the best of early church life that we should aspire to, what matches and what misses? And how do you think we could do some of these things better? Any ideas, any thoughts? Yeah, Josh?
Says all the believers were together and they had everything in common, and we don't have everything in common here. I think that's the best thing about our church, is we have one thing in common, at least one thing we can all say we have in common, and that is our love for God.
Yeah, amen.
That unifies us all, and every other difference we have, all the different backgrounds we all come from, but it's still amazing that we still love God and we all can come here together to worship Him.
Yeah.
And that's why I think we do it better, because we have that one thing in common, and we can all share our different experiences.
Yeah.
To come here together, and despite everything else that's going on, we can still worship God. And I think it's amazing.
Amen. Amen. Fantastic.
Amen, Josh.
Fantastic. Thank you, Josh. Anybody else?
I have a follow on from that and saying how I imagine that the early church is very much like, in a sense, our church, in that there are people from every kind of background.
Yeah.
There are people who were educated, people who were not so educated, people who were rich, people who were poor, people who were well, people who were disabled.
Yeah.
The complete spectrum. And yet, when one comes to Christ, none of these other things matter.
Yeah.
We're one in Him.
Yeah.
And that's what Josh was saying, that we, through that one thing, we are united. It doesn't matter. When I came to faith, one of the greatest miracles for me, from what was for me a very exclusive background, that suddenly none of these divisions made any difference anymore.
Yes, yes, amen.
That love for other people that was completely absent in my life up to that point. That's something that I've seen. I look around this room, my brain moves as well this morning. Just that unity, that sense that we're all together here this morning. We're all so very different. We are young, we are old, and so forth. But yet, we're all united.
Yes, amen, amen. Fantastic. Thank you, Mark. That's so true. So true. Fantastic. Anybody else got anything else they wanted to add from reading through Acts 2:42-47? No, it's a challenging one, that, isn't it? It is a challenging one. Yeah, we don't tend to do that. It has been, you know. Yeah. Well, should we explore a little bit further some of the things they were devoted to? Because it says they were devoted, doesn't it? And devoted is a really, really strong word. Devoted. I mean, give me an example of something. Anyone offer anything to tell? Give me an example of something you are devoted to.
My husband.
Your husband, yeah? Your kids, yeah. So it's the kind of language we use for the very, very closest of relationships and the very, very closest of dedication. That's something we would give our everything for. Yeah? So Charlotte said her kids. Dorothy said her husband. David, we all know, when we think about it, we all know what devotion is. And it says, the first thing they were devoted to, we talked about they were devoted to eating together. We've already talked about that, yeah? They were devoted to it actually so much they went round to each other's houses and ate together pretty much every single day. Sorry, I think I may have... I accidentally turned it off, sorry. They were devoted to eating together pretty much every single day. From house to house, they ate together. But let's move on to the first thing they were devoted to was the apostles' teaching. The apostles' teaching. Now, are you devoted to everything the apostles recorded and taught about Jesus in the New Testament? Or are you like this? Faith, I'm a little bit thirsty. Can I have a drink, please? Shall we?
There you go, King. No, I'm not kidding.
There you go. More.
Can I just put it in his face?
So that looked weird, right?
Yeah,
it was weird. And I wanted to have actually a baby bottle, a proper baby bottle, and that would have been even weirder. But the point is, it's supposed to weird you out because it's not natural, is it? But the fact of the matter is, we behave as Christians is a bit like that a lot of the time. Because if the only time you get feeding from God is when you walk into this building and I stand here at this pulpit and tell you about the Bible, that's what that looks like to God. Yeah? If that's the way you feed yourself, because that's the way babies get food. And do you wait for someone to feed you and then when you're unhappy in your life, you say, wah, you didn't feed me enough, feed me some more. Or, you know, you're not a baby. I heard somebody say this once and they said, don't suck. You're not a baby. Don't suck. You're not a baby. Keep feeding yourself. Keep feeding yourself from this. Be devoted to the apostles' teaching. Keep feeding yourself from this until you are satisfied in God. And if you're unhappy, keep on digging in until you're satisfied on God. Don't let go until you're satisfied in God. Keep digging, because if you keep knocking on that door, Jesus is going to answer. But if you just knock once and walk away, you might miss what God has for you. So they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. Keep feeding yourself until you're satisfied in God. But devotion to the apostles' teaching is not just about listening, it's about doing. They didn't just hear what the apostles said. They didn't just listen to their tales about going out and, you know, praying for the sick in Jesus' name and Jesus doing great signs and wonders. And then they told everyone about Jesus and lots of people were added to the church. They copied them. They listened to the apostles' stories about Jesus, about their own, what Jesus was doing through them now, what Jesus had done when he was on earth. And then they went out and they copied it. So being devoted to the apostles' teaching is not just about reading it. It's about reading it and doing it, putting it into practice. The man from Open Doors said last week, people are literally dying to get hold of one of these. Literally, actually dying to get hold of one of these. And yet, some Christians, some of us, can't be bothered to take it off the shelf and read even a chapter a day. So, today, I introduce to you the Acts Challenge. I would like the church, I'm going to challenge the church to read through a chapter of Acts a day for the whole of February starting today. And the great thing is, I said that, well, there's 28 chapters in Acts and usually 28 days in February, but it's a leap year, but today is the 2nd of February, which means that you have exactly 28 days from today to read a chapter a day and finish the book of Acts by the end of February. Are we up for doing that together?
Yeah.
Yeah? Amen. Amen. Fantastic. Let's be devoted to the apostles' teaching. But don't just be devoted to reading a chapter a day. Every time you read a chapter, think, how am I going to put this into practice today or tomorrow? If you read it in the evening, how am I going to put this into practice tomorrow? If you read it in the morning, how am I going to put this into practice? Is there anything about what I've just read that I can go and do? Is it change? Is it going to change the way I actually live today? Okay, so what else were they devoted to? Well, they were devoted to, what's the next thing it says they were devoted to? Who can tell me?
Fellowship.
Yeah. Now, this is an interesting one because we just think of fellowship as meaning meeting together. They were just devoted to getting together, and they did get together. It says they got together every day. That's a lot more than we get together, yeah? But actually, the term that's translated here as fellowship means to share something in common with someone else. So actually, fellowship more describes the result of what the word means rather than what the word itself means. So it means to share something in common with someone else. And it is followed by a description of the main things they were devoted to sharing in common together. Prayer, meals, and possessions. Yeah? So let's look at these things in more detail. They were devoted to sharing prayer together. Do you know, I heard a fantastic thing a little while ago about somebody who'd asked like a pastor or somebody at a conference about, you know, I find it really hard to pray. This famous evangelist had been listening to this conversation going on, and he'd said, this guy had asked, I find it really hard to pray for very long. I don't know what to pray. Can you tell me how to pray? And this guy said, the preacher said, well, you know, you want to make a big long list of, you know, make a list of all the things you're thankful for, and then make a list of all your friends, and then make a list of all the countries where, you know, you need to know Jesus and all this kind of thing. And the evangelist said he sat there and he thought, this person doesn't pray very much. Because it's not that making lists is a wrong thing, and having lists can be a good thing, but lists, being devoted to prayer is not so much about lists as it is about listening. Listening should be the biggest part of your prayer life. Prayer should come out of listening and be a response to listening to God. Because when you're in conversation with somebody who is much, much, much wiser than you, it's best to start with listening, isn't it? Seek intimacy with God through prayer. Don't just give him a list. You know, God's not your to-do list. The first thing you should be seeking with God is intimacy, you know? Isaiah 40:28 says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up on wings like eagles. Do eagles flap when they rise up? No. The currents take them up. And God said, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It is God, God's spirit, that lifts us up as we wait on him. Our prayer should start by waiting on the Lord if we want to renew our strength and rise up on wings like eagles. So stop, look, listen, and then respond. You know, there's so many different ways you can pray, but as long as you're listening, that's the most important thing. Sometimes I like to pray I'll read the Bible, and I pray the Bible as I read it. You know, I'll be reading the Bible, and as I'm reading it, you know, I'll read, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and I'll be, Lord, I love your word, and you just start praying it, you know, and then I love my brothers and sisters, and you start praying everything you read. As it comes off the page, you turn it back into prayer to God and a response to him. Or praying in the spirit so that it bypasses your head and goes straight to your heart, and God can remind you of things that you might otherwise have forgotten. Or I like to pray through the Lord's Prayer, and everything, every part of the Lord's Prayer reminds me of something to pray for. You know, our Father in heaven. Wow, you start with that. Our Father in heaven. God, I can call you Father. I'm adopted as a son. Lord, how incredible is that? Lord, I thank you that Jesus, that you died for me so that I could be adopted into the family of the Almighty God of this universe and call him Daddy. You know? And when you start praying as a response to listening to God, and you start with thankfulness and worship, once you start hearing God's voice, it's actually really hard to stop praying. It's really hard to stop praying. So don't try to perform. Don't rack your brain for the right things to say. Don't talk a lot. Learn to listen, and prayer will fill people with Holy Spirit life, not just you, but people around you as you pray for them and pray into their situations, pray over them, receive God's word for them. They were devoted to praying together. How much do we pray together? Well, I think we're pretty good at that. Carl McCann said he was shocked when I just opened a meeting by saying, let's just have a time of open prayer. And everyone prayed. They were devoted, so the fellowship was devoted to eating, praying, and possessions. They were devoted to radical generosity. Radical generosity. I want to read to you from Acts, a little bit further on in Acts. It gives a bit more detail about this. The believers share their possessions. This is Acts 4:32 and onwards. All the believers were one in heart and mind. Total unity. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There was no needy persons among them, for from time to time those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Wouldn't that be great? It's funny that you read about Barnabas later on, you just think that was his name. That wasn't his name. They gave him that name because he was such an encourager. And that'd be great, you know. Roth, daughter of encouragement, you know. It's good, isn't it? We have these, if that's the things that stand out about us. So they were devoted to radical generosity. It doesn't mean that there was no such thing as privately owned property in the early church, or that it was a commune, or that lazy people could sponge off of them. It meant that they sold what they didn't need because they wanted to support those in need who couldn't support themselves, like the widows and the orphans. And in fact, that's exactly what they did in the temple in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy. Let's just find that Deuteronomy now. Deuteronomy 14:28-29 says this. At the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in your towns, so that the Levites, who have no land or inheritance of their own, and the aliens, the foreigners, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns may come and eat and be satisfied, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. And then after that, it goes on to describe how they cancelled people's debts and freed the servants. You see, Jesus' followers have just been filled with the Holy Spirit, with God's presence. They are together the new temple of God, just as we are part of that new temple that spans thousands of years all across the world. And the new temple is simply fulfilling the purpose of the original temple, to be a place where people encounter God's generosity and provision. So I encourage you I encourage you. I'm not saying go and sell your houses and sell your land, but I encourage you to support one another in any way that you can with whatever you have, if someone else has less, to support one another. And that can be in prayer. That can be in a sparkly faith. You know. So, let's just close by saying they were devoted to four things: hearing and doing God's word, praying together, eating together in unity and celebration of Jesus, and generously caring for each other's needs. Do you want to be part of this kind of Jesus life? Yeah? When you filled in all the vision questionnaires, one of the things that came out of that the board approved, was that we were going to start in 2020 movable house groups. And what I'd like to do is I'd like the focus of these movable house groups. I've drawn out kind of the way the movable house groups would work. I want the focus of the movable house groups being a devotion to these four things: hearing and doing God's word, praying together, eating together, and generously caring for each other's needs, because we can't know each other's needs unless we know each other. Yeah? So, we're going to do the first of those house groups. We'll probably do them once a month to start with through the year, moving around from house to house. And if they're popular and we have enough people, we'll do them more regularly. But we'll start the first one at Faith and I's house next Sunday evening. You can come and join the youth and have a whole church meeting all together. We'll fit you all in. And I would like to encourage everybody to bring along some cold food or a drink for a bit of a buffet to eat together when you come. And we will eat together, pray together, and we will get to know each other so we can care for each other's needs. And we will listen to God's word together. Yeah? Amen. Amen. Do you want one thing? Sorry, I know it's time to finish, but I just want to say one thing before we... Why did the early Christians behave this way? Because it's a pretty radical way to behave, yeah? Why did they do it? It's because they believed that God had come to earth as a human being who and willingly sacrificed himself to exchange his selfless life for their selfish lives so that they could be reconnected to God. And having given away their selfish life, they left behind all their selfish desires and ambitions. And having gained Jesus' selfless life, they became new people powered by Jesus' resurrection life, living selflessly for God and others because Jesus was in them. They had Jesus' selfless life in them. So they lived selflessly like Jesus did. I just want to say, if there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus in that way yet this morning, and you want to be part of that life, you want to follow Jesus in that way, come and speak to me afterwards. And if you already know that life, but you want to recommit yourself to it this morning, or if you don't know it and you want to commit yourself to it for the first time, would you just stand with me now? And Hugh, do you have a last song? Or, yeah. If you just stand with me now and we'll just respond as we sing the last song, just give your life to God in that way. Give your selfish life away and accept his selfless life given for you so that he can live selflessly through you.